There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
And give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geek's 50 Days of Dragon Con, the podcast that everyone said couldn't happen. Well, no one really said that. And joining me, as always, is the lovely, the vivacious, the va-va-va-voom Lee.
Oh, that's so sweet in a weird way. Nobody said it
they
couldn't
occur.
They only
get creepier.
It'll only get creepier. Nobody said it couldn't occur. Everybody was just worried that it wasn't going to occur, is from what we're hearing from everybody. So, yay! How are you? It's Dragon Con. What day are we on?
I'm good. Well, this one will be day 5. Right?
Okay.
I think so.
That sounds right.
Yep. That's right.
We're
now,
on day. We're it is on, day 46. Day, yes. Yeah.
So as far as everyone's concerned, that's what it is. Now we're actually, you know, kind of record these a little bit, out of order. Now, that being said,
yes,
I do got to mention because, our good friend Zan, she pointed out that some people, freaked out because of the way that I, number the things when they go when I put the podcast out. So occasionally we won't have a podcast to, put out. And so, what I do is I just list the day that it is, what day we're on, right? So
right.
It went 1, 2, 4. And so everyone thought that 3 was missing. No, 3 was actually one of the first part of a three-part series by Lee on Lee's 1, 2, 4 rule. Like, I guess it's like it's a regular rule. But
1, 2, 4 rule.
But it's Lee's scolding of you if you don't follow it rule. so that's why the 3 was missing. Now, lest you think that we don't do 50 or at least get really close to it or sometimes go over, when we get up to about 30 days, day 30 or something like that, usually that's when we start to get 31A, 31B. So you'll start to get doubles sometimes, and then other times it'll still just be just
47A,
a
post.
Yeah,
47B, C.
So you can ignore, don't worry about it. But thank you those of you that thought that something happened on iTunes, because I went over and I checked and verified, and then I found out that something else was going on with iTunes, which is it's printing this funky character that I got to get rid of. But thank you for looking, and I'm flattered that you care that much. But that's really what happened. So enough with that public service announcement.
There we go.
Lee, who else?
Okay, that's a good public service announcement. And I think the thing to also watch out about this is when we say 50 days of Dragon Con, 50 days can be very unusually counted. So just remember that. Remember.
It's rough math.
It's rough. Neither one of us majored in math.
It's as much math as we like to do.
Yeah, we neither one of us majored in math, and both of us have real lives. So we do our bestesses to do that. But, you know, I mean, I think part of Dragon Con is always, you know, suspend reality. Suspend it a little bit,
and
John.
Improvising.
What do you think?
And sometimes...
I think you suspend it and improvise it and sometimes put a wig on it.
Oh, why would you put a wig on it, Lee?
Well, you know, you might put a wig on it because you're trying to dress it up a little differently.
Oh, if only we had somebody to talk about dressing up things.
And I tell you, what, isn't it amazing that we have someone here right now who is Lee, another Lee, but he spells it L-E-E, and he is the director of a costuming track. He spells it like a boy, yes. But he is the director of the costuming track, and we want to say hi, Lee!
Hi, guys!
Hey,
hi.
How's it going?
Yeah, so we're going to put a wig on it and then maybe a cape and some spandex.
Quite
a segue.
Is that not quite a segue? And so what could we do in costume if we had a wig and some spandex and a cape? Could you help us make a costume?
I could. I try to avoid spandex wherever possible.
You and me both.
John, you ain't. Get up for that, John. It's all about
now.
I just have one thing to say. Dancer what? Built.
So, oh, yeah. Yes, so, yes. Costuming track. What is that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we are a genre new to track that we basically are the DIY of Dragon Con. We tell you how to make whatever it is that you might want to make, and then you can customize that whatever genre you're working on. So you were talking about a cape, using that analogy. We will teach you how to make the best cape possible in several different ways of making the cape, but whether or not you turn that into a Batman cape or a Jedi cape or whatever, that's entirely up to you from there. We have more specific genre-based tracks that can go into more details about costumes specific to their genre. So we try to say genre neutral.
So you're really the here's how you make it type thing or track and I want to show off my stuff and the techniques I use type track, correct?
That's us.
Sweet. And so all those people out there that are on the floor have you to thank for their awesome costumes.
I don't know that they all have us to thank, but we do see quite a few folks that have set in on our panels that come running
yes,
up to
do.
Us and say, hey, look what I made after, you know, this panel or that panel.
Look,
so it's amazing.
I am on a haul with him, and I will tell you, he's got a line. People are waiting.
He always. I was about to say the same exact thing, Lee. Every time you go over there, there is a line waiting to get into his door.
There is a way because people are like, "Woohoo! I want to talk about this or whatever." So, what? I mean, it is amazing because, as you say, you're genre neutral, but you have topics on everything from and I've seen some of these on how to make your own costume on a budget to. Mm-hmm. Renaissance costumes using the historical techniques. I mean, how do you set up everything from the beginner to the expert?
That is actually an interesting question. We try to make each panel we do a little bit of something in the panel for everyone, from beginner to professional. Now, granted, there are some topics that are going to be a little more advanced than beginner. But I think that, even with stuff like making a costume on a budget or how to recycle stuff that you have around the house, even professionals find interesting tidbits in that. Once you start getting into stuff like electronics and costuming and thermoplastics and things of that nature, it might go just a tad over the beginner's head, but if they're really paying attention and are interested in that kind of stuff, these panelists will tell you how to get involved in it, even as a beginner.
There you go.
So let me ask you this, because Lee put out this challenge to me. She's trying to raise money for this year's charity, which is awesome, of course.
Still working on it.
But she
still working on it.
But she wants me to be the prize, which is ladies. No, which is nobody's
sorry,
prize.
I didn't mean to laugh.
If anything, no, that's fine. I'm laughing at myself. I actually think that she'd be better off saying he won't come in costume if you raise money. But let's look at it this way. I've got, there's 40, we'll say 40 days roughly until Dragon Con. If I haven't started a costume, what are my options at this point?
Well, you actually do have quite a few options, depending on how many hours a week you put into your real job, of course.
He does need to not get
fired. Out what your time budget is. Right. That would be pretty important. Just whatever your time budget would be. I mean, there's still quite a bit that you can do. There's a lot of costumers out there right now. I'm seeing posts from them constantly where they're busting out to try to get some things finished before Dragon Con. And you're working on one costume, right? Not multiple for that weekend?
I'm only going to wear one and only on the first day, and then I'm done. I've never dressed for Dragon Con or cosplayed for Dragon Con. I don't, I have a theater background, but I just don't care to do that in public. On stage is fine.
Sure.
In public is a completely different thing.
Right.
So this is Lee's attempt to get me in spandex is really what it boils down to.
Yes.
Is that what it is? Okay. Do I need to get some of our costumers over there and help you out with this, Lee?
No. We want the costumers over there because they're going to give to charity.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I know. No, I want them over there because they're going to give to charity. But see, I want to get him in spandex, but I also know, I'm very honest, that he doesn't have to be in spandex. There's a lot of things we can do. I have an idea actually for him that if we that actually would not mean spandex.
Oh, really? What
right,
is it?
Right.
Let me tell you right now.
So Lee,
you can share it with me after the show.
Okay, we can do that. It would be a much easier costume.
Does it still require a dance belt?
No.
Oh, okay.
No dance belt. I don't. Yeah, no.
I mean, I have like 12 of them, but no, just kidding. No, seriously, I do. I mean, no, I don't. Anyway, so Lee, let's get back to your topic. You have a couple of special events going on this year, I understand. Do you want to elaborate a bit?
Sure. Of course, we always have the Friday Night Costuming Contest. That's our premier craftsmanship contest. And like last year, one of the things we're doing this year that I would like to talk about the most would be our social media fan favorite award. The way that works is everyone that's entering the professional skill level for the contest, their costumes will actually be splashed all over DragonCon's Facebook, Twitter, that kind of thing. And then fans can actually vote for their favorite, whether they're actually within the boundaries of DragonCon or they're not attending at all. And then whoever wins that, whichever professional wins that award, they actually get a speed pass to get an autograph for any celebrity at the con that they would like. And of course, if you've ever stood in line to get an autograph at DragonCon, you know just how valuable that really is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool, and it's a great way of getting folks outside involved in that. And of course, anyone that's actually at the contest that would really rather see person B win instead of person A, they have an opportunity to voice that right there on social media.
Well, let me ask you.
Very excited about that.
Good idea of using social media too, because we already do so much at social media with DragonCon. And believe it or not, wait, where are you holding this contest? Is it going to be in your room or in another room?
Oh no! This is in a ballroom because it's
in a ballroom.
Large. this is going to be held at the Marriott.
Okay. No, well, I was saying if Marriott, it's in a ballroom, it's Marriott, yeah, you'll be able to. Usually at the Marriott, in the ballroom areas at least, most of cell phones get signal, so you will be able to do your social media stuff. So yay! So that's good. So I'm sorry, John, and I cut you off on a question. Go.
Oh yeah. Well, I was going to ask you. You mentioned professional customer. What's the difference between professional and amateur? I mean, besides getting paid for it.
Typically we define a professional as someone that does it professionally and gets paid for it, or they have entered a number of costume contests for significant cons like Dragon Con, Comic Con, that kind of thing, and have won previous awards for their costuming. Also if they have entered the Friday Night Costuming Contest before, but, several times as a journeyman, it's time for them to progress on as a professional as well. So that's how we determine that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Well, now I have a question though about costuming, and I guess maybe this is a question for costuming versus cosplay, but
okay.
Is there a difference? And if there is a difference, or if there isn't a difference, how does like somebody like John, who is, he's extroverted, but he is still a little bit shy, and that's why I want to get him a costume. But you got to be out there and selling it when you're going to wear that costume. I mean, you got to sell it. If you're going to put a tutu on that has stars on it, you better be willing to sell that sucker. So how do people, I mean, is there a difference between cosplay and costuming? And if there isn't, how do you help people say, you know, here's how we can help you sell it, sweetie.
Okay. Yeah, that is actually a good question. There is a difference between costuming and cosplay. The line is kind of fine. The distinguishing piece is the performance piece. Okay. You do have people that are costumers that do not cosplay, and you have cosplayers that do not make their own costumes. But I will say that the vast majority of the cosplayers, or at least the really good cosplayers that I know, all make their own costumes. They're the costumer as well.
Okay.
And our experience has been, it's much easier to start getting into character once you're wearing the costume. And then if you still can't quite break that wall of distinguishing yourself from the character, a mask usually does the trick.
A mask. Ooh.
No one, okay. No one can like see that. Who you are. And then you can be anything you want to be. I know a good number of costumers that are actually kind of introverted that are able to truly sell whatever character it is they're dressed like just because they're wearing a mask.
There you go. So, John, would that help?
Oh, I don't need to wear a mask. It's not that bad for me.
It's not that
I'll
bad?
I'll be fine.
Oh, good.
I'm making it a little bit bigger deal than it really is. But
I know, but I just wanted to make sure because my idea doesn't have a mask.
Oh, okay. So it's not, now I can't remember the name of the movie. Never mind. I was thinking of the Tom Cruise movie. Why can't I remember what it was? With his ex-wife, Stanley Kubrick. Yeah,
no,
there we go.
No, it is, seriously, Eyes Wide Shut. That's where you thought I was going. Really?
Well, it's an easy costume to do, right?
Naked?
Yes. So, Lee, what defines naked?
We have a saying, no costume is no costume.
Well, when is it no costume? That's what my question is. Because, you know, after 10 o'clock, we'll say, 9 o'clock sometimes, it starts to become, that line starts to become a little blurred. In your professional opinion, when is it a costume and when is it not a costume?
I'm actually qualified to answer that question. We used to do a contest called Dragon After Dark, which gave costumers with the more risque costumes a place to show off those costumes as well. And anything that is not considered legal in the state of Georgia is no longer a costume. If you have to ask someone to put some extra feathers on it, it's not a costume.
If you're going around, running around, holding your arms over something, and going, my horse, my kingdom for some duct tape. That's probably not costume.
Yeah, if you're using your arm as a bra, then no, it's not a costume.
If you're using your hands as a modesty shield, not a costume.
No,
that goes for guys.
Not at
that
all.
That goes for guys. I was trying to like think about guys. But now I do say that at Dragon Con, because this does come up, people will say, well, at what time do the kids need to go to bed? I would say, Lee, I don't know about you, but I'd say around 8:30, 9 o'clock is about a good time to say, you know what, kids? Let's go have pizza upstairs in our room.
Right. Yeah. I mean, any adult themed programming is not supposed to start till after 10 p.m.
Yep.
However, I noticed that, you know, even though we abide by those rules, our guests and attendees don't necessarily abide by those rules. They start getting really happy and frisky by about 8:30, 9 o'clock.
I would think 8:30, 9 o'clock is a good time. And that's when usually you would see people that might be using duct tape as a way for the Atlanta Police Department not to be upset. So just think about it that way.
Now, let me ask you this. Would a let's assume that I had a mermaid costume and and the top was, you know, just basically covering the, well, in my case, not much, but in the case of somebody else, covering just, that's all you had was just that top. Is that's still a costume, right? And if it was a costume, where could I wear that at on maybe Saturday night?
So we're talking about a mermaid costume. Mm-hmm. So there would be the bottom, that's the fins and everything, and mm-hmm. then like a top.
The shells.
Shells or whatever. Yeah, I mean, that actually is considered a costume because all of the appropriate naughty bits are covered. And so you could pretty much wear that at any place within the con. I mean,
no, but we're
you, but would there be something special on Saturday night he could wear
that,
it to?
That would work for?
Oh, why? As a mermaid? Would something special to wear that on
as a mermaid who would be in a mermaid.
We are clumsily trying to get you.
We're trying to get you there.
I get it. I'm just okay. I see the segue coming, but
there we go.
You know,
it wasn't a good segue. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Saturday night there is a cosplay contest going on at the Georgia Aquarium.
Oh, wow.
I will tell you, you don't have to dress up in a sea theme if you don't want to, but there is a cosplay contest going on Saturday night, Georgia Aquarium. It's called the Chosen. It's spelled like Chosen, but it's actually Japanese for the challenge. It's brand new this year. It's going to be huge. The prizes are amazing. If you haven't checked those out on the Dragon Con website yet, you need to go look at that because the prizes are a little jealous. They're much bigger than anything we've ever had for the Friday Night Costume Contest, and we'll give away some pretty big prizes there.
You do, yes.
Yeah.
Now, is there admission cost for that, or?
I believe there is an admission cost for the Georgia Aquarium. I can pull up and see how much that is real quick. But
I'm going. You just keep talking about it.
Yeah, I think it's $25, but Lee, correct me if that's wrong.
That's where I'm going. I think that sounds about. Look, what's up? Night at the Aquarium right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the Night at the Aquarium is so huge now. I mean, we get a tremendous number of people show up for that, even though it is a separate charge, because you get to see the entire aquarium, for goodness sakes.
And it's an awesome aquarium. I have to say, it is a great, great aquarium to go to. It is, you get to see beluga whales. That's kind of cool. It is $25 in advance. It's $30 at the door. And there is a VIP ticket for $80 that gets you free food and drink in a special VIP area for only $80. And so, yeah, and though there are going to be cosplay stars there, they are going to be doing that. And I love this. Just come for the halibut.
Exactly.
They have that pun, not me. I couldn't have thought of that off the top of my head. It's all on the Dragon Con site, dragoncon.org. It's right on the front page, so you can go there. And that would be really, really cool. But the aquarium is really neat. It is the second largest aquarium in the world or in the U.S.? I think it's in the world.
I think it's in the world as well. It used to be the largest, but I believe another country finally beat us out on that.
Probably Dubai. Yeah. If I was to bet money, I would say Dubai.
Dubai will pretty much, either Dubai or Qatar will try to do that.
Right.
But you get to pet some animals. You get to pet some. There's actually an area where you get to go, and I think, is there sturgeons and some manta rays?
There is. And I mean, and the tunnel that goes through the middle of that aquarium is amazing. I mean, what better backdrop to take a photo of your costume?
With
a shark behind you, just swimming around and relaxing.
How does this contest differ from, say, Masquerade?
Because there is a heavier accent on the cosplay portion. Cosplay contests take a lot of pride in their craftsmanship, and I'm not saying that the Masquerade doesn't. And I don't run Masquerade, so I'm kind of hesitant to say a little too much on their behalf. But from what I understand, the Masquerade is more about the presentation piece. It's so that everyone can come have a good time dressed in their costumes, and that's important too. Just as important as contests like ours, that's more focused on craftsmanship. Well, the cosplay contest itself is almost a hybrid between the Friday Night Costuming Contest and the Masquerade, because we focus a little bit on both pieces of that. As a matter of fact, there's an auditioning, it's a very short, but an auditioning phase before you're even allowed into our cosplay contest. Primarily because of time restraints and things of that nature, but we do take a look at the costumes and do a mild auditioning before we make the final selection as to which costumers will actually participate in the contest. So it's competitive. It's very competitive, but yep. We're still going to have folks out the door lined up to do it.
Yeah.
It's going to be very exciting.
And honestly, I would buy those tickets in advance. The great thing about that is by buying them in advance, you don't have to wait at the door. Also that you'll be able to get them early. So you already have them in your hot little hands when you're picking up your badge and stuff like that. So it's all good.
Exactly.
That would be very, very good. So do buy those. And I think the theme is 20,000 Leagues Under DC. So
they're all into the puns, right? Aren't they?
I'm reading the little blurb and I'm like, I don't know what this is, but they want us to shake it. I want to read it. And shaking it like a Flitium cindiaria. I don't know what that is, but I'm a little scared to look it up.
Put your safe search on before you look for that.
Yeah, that's one of
those. Sure. I got another little tidbit of good news. It's not quite confirmed yet, but our DragonCon special events director is actually trying to coordinate with the aquarium to allow contestants of the contest to get in a little early. So they get to see the aquarium and not spend the entire time in contest.
Oh.
There
that's
you go.
Cool. That's really
see?
Cool. Yeah. So that would be a bonus as well.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for that because obviously that's A, unconfirmed at this point, but B, even if it was, it would still be tentative because, you know, as with everything at Dragon Con, things
everything
change.
Is tentative.
So besides those two awesome events, both Friday and Saturday night, what other key or big panels do you do?
Well, we do have one other contest that I would like to talk about. That's the Makeup Makeover Challenge. It's kind of for fans of Face Off on Sci-Fi Channel. It's kind of like Face Off on speed. it is a makeup contest. You don't have to do hair or costuming. We prefer that you don't. However, anything from 2D to 3D on the face is acceptable, and they basically draw a genre and a description out of the bag, and they have to complete the look in 50 minutes.
Wow.
They don't get 3 days like you do on Face Off. And this is our fourth year doing it. These folks do some amazing makeup jobs, and we have several former cast members of Face Off that are actually emceeing that event.
So it's
going to be incredible. So if you're interested in participating as a makeup artist for that, you do have to bring your own makeup kit, but we let you know what the genres and descriptions are so you can be prepared for what you draw. It's a good time. It's a great time.
Well, do you pick people out of the audience to put the makeup on?
Yes, we do. Yeah, the volunteers are random. Of course, we make sure they don't have any latex or any other types of allergies or alcohol sensitivity and that kind of thing. And then I toss a ball into the audience, and whoever catches it, that's our first volunteer, and they throw it behind them to our second volunteer and so on, and then the last person brings the ball back to me.
Well, wait, could you make me look like John and John look like me?
I could not, but I know folks that can.
No, you're thinking of the movie Face Off, not.
Oh, I was hoping they could make me tall.
Yeah.
For those of you listening at home, by the way, you might have heard something going off. I'm still trying to track down what it was. It sounds like Google Hangouts, but I don't see it anywhere. So anyway, if you heard that, that's what happened.
I didn't do it. It's not me.
Lee, go about your conversation.
Lee's, no, go back. But no, that's so. So that's one you've got. What else? I mean, what are some of the things? Every year you try stuff new. So, I mean, of course, you've got the aquarium thing this year, which is new. But you always pull in some new panels as well. So what are some of the new panels you're looking at?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, we're taking a little bit of a dive into thermoplastics. We did this last year, but there is a couple of new products out that we're going to talk about this year. Terraflex being one of them.
What is that?
Pretty cool material. Terraflex. Thermoplastics are amazing. You basically heat them up and sculpt whatever, you know, armor or
wow.
seashells for your mermaid costume, whatever you want to do with it. It's the new, it is the new material that a lot of the costumers and cosplayers are turning to. It's amazing stuff. So we're going to be talking about what's new in that. See, what else are we doing that's new? We're doing the cosplay charity auction.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah, we do that every other year. Our first time was in 2013, so we still kind of feel new at it here in 2015. But basically, it's a great place where folks can bring their new and gently used cosplay items. New makeup. We can't take any makeup or wigs that have been previously opened. But, you know, if you are no longer interested in that genre, or perhaps you've gained or lost a little weight and you would really like to see your costume continue to get a little bit of the spotlight at a con, but you're not interested in wearing it yourself, but donate it to our auction. We will auction that off. All the money goes to our charity of choice this year. And, your cosplay items find a new life, and someone that would love to have that item is going to be super excited.
And that, I know 2 years ago you did that for the first time, and it raised a good bit of money. And so this year again, all going to charity, Lymphoma Cancer Foundation for Research. So, sorry, the Lymphoma Research Foundation. I'm going to get that right, but lymphoma is a cancer. but that's where it's going. And so, yay, go. I know my son went and 2 years ago and just kind of window shopped because he could not afford any. But there's a range of prices, folks. Do understand, my kid 2 years ago was 14. So there's a range of prices. There are a range of styles. And they were really, he came back and he was like, some of them were really cool. So there's a lot of neat stuff that will be there and be shared. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like adopt a pet, adopt a costume. They want to be loved too.
Right.
Which is good.
Exactly. I mean, some of these costumers, they poured some hours into these costumes and they don't
want to
see them sitting
there. They've poured hours and love in them. Yes.
Exactly. So, they don't want to see them just sitting, you know, in storage or in the back of their closet just because they can't wear them anymore. Or perhaps, you know, it was a three-piece costume and they recycled one piece of it for a new costume. So the other two pieces they would like to see go to a good home. And there would be someone out there, I assure you, that would absolutely love to have that piece with their costume that would rather not have to make it. So it's just a win-win all the way around, absolutely.
And I think one thing you had last year, too, was some of them that had, like, started some costumes and then kind of gotten out of the fandom and they were recycling them because it was like, this is still, you know, it's a 90% finished.
Right.
Costume, but I'm just not in the fandom anymore. So who wants it now?
Right. And I've seen folks have gone to make a helmet or something, and once they're done with it, it doesn't fit their head. They accidentally made it a size too small or whatever, and so they don't want to hold on to it.
Or way too many sizes too big. So there you go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What day is that again?
That is on Saturday at 2:30 p.m.
Okay.
Woohoo!
And that's being held over in the Hyatt.
All right.
Don't miss it. And if any of you out there have anything that you would like to donate to that, we will happily take your donations. And because it is an auction, if you need it to be tax deductible, we can give you a receipt for that. If you want more information, just email us at bc.cosplay.auction@gmail.com.
There you go.
And either myself or Suzanne, who's my project coordinator for that, will give you an answer right away.
Sweet.
See? Woohoo!
So, anything else that you want to tell us about? Any other of your panels?
Well, we have some really cool stuff. Last year, we did the Vintage Vogue Fashion Show for the first time. It was exponentially more successful than any of us could have planned for. So we are definitely bringing that back this year with major improvements and hopefully some really cool things to show off of that. Basically, Vintage Vogue, it could be historical costumes, whether they're real or reimagined, like like the steampunk and some of the other little alternate worlds of history there. Those will be involved, but there will also be some period accurate pieces as well.
Ooh.
And it's fun.
Yeah.
And that's what a great way to start the con, too. That's on Friday at 1 p.m. I mean, that's like the first big show of the weekend. You don't want to miss it. So it's a great way to start the weekend, especially if you like historical accurate and steampunk and diesel mm-hmm. punk costumes and things. So,
and John, did you hear what Lee said? It was on Friday, the first day of the con.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure what you're getting at, but okay.
You just keep saying other things, and you intimate other things, and I am saying Friday, first day of the con. Friday.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean,
as opposed to Thursday.
Well,
Friday.
No, I mean, you say it's Friday. I understand that you, because you're lazy, don't start till Friday, but everybody else started on Wednesday.
Everybody else starts drinking on Wednesday. They don't actually start the battles until Friday.
So for the Dragon Con directors going, oh my God, wait, what? What changed? Okay. Okay, great. It's
right.
Always fun.
Right.
So Lee, let me ask you our final question, your final question for today, which is if you had to only do, and you could only do it for the rest of your life, a genre of costume, what genre would you like to do?
Ooh.
You had to do the rest of your life.
Killing me.
Yeah, I know. That's my goal.
You're killing me. Because I was never sold to one genre only, which is why I got into this. Does it have to be specific, or can it be broad spectrum?
I'll let you go a little bit.
Like DC superheroes or Marvel superheroes. I guess I would have to say comic book superheroes if I was not allowed to do any more of my post-apocalyptic or steampunk or anything.
Oh.
now why do you choose the costumes or the superhero genre? Is it because of the variety or?
Well, that just seems to be my genre of choice today. I mean, that changes year to year, but I've gotten to where I just will not miss a single episode of any of the DC comic-based television shows or any of the Marvel-based movies. I mean, clearly Marvel's ruling the big screen, but DC is definitely taking over the small screen, I'm digging both. I watch both religiously.
How do you feel about the Flash's costume?
About the Flash?
Yeah. Television version.
I'm liking it. I like the mature take. They're the mature spin that they're giving it compared to some of the attempts in the past. Mm-hmm. I really like the nod that they're giving to the previous actor the previous Flash.
Yes.
Back at the father. And it's kind of edgy. It's a little bit darker than what you would expect for a Flash TV show. So, and I like that kind of thing. I mean, if it was strictly the can I say smart ass on this?
Sure. Well, you just did.
If it was strictly the smart ass Flash that we know and love from the comic books or whatever, I don't think that would be as appealing to me. But because there is some really dark undertones to it, that I just find that really appealing. It gives the characters more depth.
Very cool.
Between the Flash and Arrow, who do you think has the better costumes? Who has a better costumer?
Arrow.
Oh, really? Arrow. That is exact opposite than what I thought you would have said. Wow.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I have been midway of making my own Arrow costume for about 10 months now. Other costume, but I just haven't gotten around to finishing yet.
Keep going.
I was going to say I like the street tattiness of some of the Arrow costumes. I mean, they They're sharp. They're definitely superhero, but it looks like something that you could actually find in the real world, whereas the Flash costume, it's obviously a costume specifically for that character that you could not find in the real world.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, and I love how you said, I've been, you know, halfway through it for 10 months now. It's kind of like the mechanic who's going to work on his car at some point, or, you know, the chef who actually always eats out. You know,
exactly.
We make sure others can before we do. So therefore, yes, there you go. That's a perfect example of that. That's
well, and exactly. I think you also described most of the costumers right now getting ready for Dragon Con anyway.
Yeah.
They're all going, whoa.
Yeah. This is the countdown. Oh, crap, man, I've only got 47 days. I've only got 47 days.
I mean, you'll be working on a costume, and then you have to put it down to work on another costume project, or, you know, life comes up, or whatever.
How?
Or you're like me, you can't decide which one you are enjoying the most, and you've got five or six of them going at once.
Right. So. I was going to say, there's some of the folks that go to Dragon Con have three or four on a night. I mean, they'll go back up, and first of all, how do they get back upstairs? But they'll go and change and come back down again. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. It is. That is a little too much work for me. I will put on one costume. I will keep that one costume on until I have sweat in it sufficiently enough to require changing. Some of these folks treat it like a fashion show. They go and change two or three times in a single night. And I personally don't know how they're actually finding time to enjoy the con, but it's their thing. They're enjoying it their way. I say go for
it. Hey, I hope they have fun. So let's just recap real quick. We got the Friday night costume contest that is actually going to be also on social media, where you can vote for your best professionals on social media.
Yep.
You've got Saturday night, where you're going to do Cosplay Under the Sea, or 20,000 Leagues Under DC, which is a cosplay costume contest that is going to be there.
The cosplay contest is called the Chosen, and it's being held at 20,000 Leagues Under DC. Yep.
There we go. Okay, let's make sure we get that right. And then you also have earlier Friday, you have the historical costumes that are some big things that we want to make sure everybody knows about, plus the face-off thing and the charity
makeover challenge.
Makeover challenge. Thank
charity
you.
Auction.
There we go. Thank you. I was listening. I just don't have all your names. I just don't have all your names. I'm so sorry. But yay, you're going to have an awesome year, and oh my God, you're going to be running around like a madman.
Oh. What am I not?
Well, yeah. Yay, welcome
to DC. I love it, though. I wouldn't do it. I mean, but when I have to sit down is when I start feeling unneeded and unloved and bored. So.
Oh, come on. That's
I like to keep busy.
You have to love everybody. Yay. Love everybody.
All right. Well, Lee, thank you again for joining us. And we appreciate all the hard work you put into the track. And it's obvious by the number of people that just want to be near you. Right by the line outside. So, but you guys do great work over there. We really appreciate it. And we really appreciate the hard work that all the directors and all the staff and all the volunteers put into Dragon Con every
year. Yeah, there's no way I could do this without my volunteer staff. I have some part-time volunteer staff that are not even on the official volunteer roster. They actually pay to be at Dragon Con that still volunteer for select events, just so that we can make everything happen as seamlessly as it appears on the surface.
Yeah.
And I've just got a great team. I could not do it without them.
Yeah, as we say often, it's a community. The Dragon Con is a community, and it's run by the community and lifted up by the community. So all those people that volunteer, and or even if they're, you know, they pay and they just want to help out, all the help is welcome. So. Anyway,
yes.
All right. So, Lee, thank you again for joining us. And until next time.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Until next time, this is John saying peace.
And bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 8133210TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow the geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.